I saw him out of my window. That's how I saw him the first time. And that went on for the better part of six winters, where pretty much if you just kept your eye out onto the frozen lake, you could see a wolf, and you could get on your skis and ski out there, and sometimes he trot over to say hello, whether you had dogs or not. He was a very relaxed, highly tolerant and sociable wolf, and that was what made him so unusual, is the extent of that. It's not unusual to be occasionally approached by a bold, inquisitive wolf, especially a young one, but as wolves get older, they get wiser and get more and more leery of people and more skittish. And in his case, he might as well have been a unicorn. He just dropped from the sky, this incredibly relaxed, tolerant, intelligent animal.
I wonder what made you think that he would be a topic for a book.
Basically, the story of Romeo serves as a lens to look at a lot of different issues, including human-wolf relations, wolves and dogs, wildlife management, issues such as naming an animal. Can you be friends with a wild animal? Can you be friends with a wolf, for gosh sakes? And we're talking about a wild, free-ranging wolf. We're not talking about a pet wolf, you know, that's raised in an enclosure. This was such a unique story, and it wasn't just me. I'm telling the story of the way this wolf really brought a community together and changed the whole community and changed hundreds of people directly. There were hundreds of people who had interactions with that wolf and had their lives altered by him. I'd have to say it was the single most transformative experience of my life.
Can you describe the transformation in your life? Is it something you can articulate for people?
I was already heading down a trail toward, I guess, what theologian Martin Buber would call an I-thou relationship, transforming from an I-it relationship when it came not only to animals, but just to other things in the world, including a tree, including an insect. It's just having more profound respect and even reverence for other life besides our own. I'm not some tree hugger. I lived for 20 years with Inupiaq Eskimos in one of the most carnivorous places possible on the planet, and I've lost track long ago of how many wolves and bears and caribou and doll sheep and moose I've shot, skinned, gutted, ate, given to other people, et cetera, off into the sunset. You know, it's but now I suppose I've gotten to the point where I still eat meat, and I very rarely hunt. And when I do, boy, do I feel the weight of killing something.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it, except for the unhappy ending.
You know, that's like saying, what's the use of watching Romeo and Juliet when Shakespeare has his narrator trot right out and tell you what's going to happen, and then you get to watch it happen? Or Titanic. It's no surprise the ship sinks. And that's the whole principle of tragedy. I'm talking about in the classic sense of the word, is watching this thing happen before your eyes, and you want to shout, oh no, go that way, and you know how it's going to end, and it's the suspense, the unbearable suspense of watching it happen before your eyes when you already know what's going to happen.